D-Maze, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. 3-0 Canada at the end of one period against Finland in the Four Nations face-off. But over the weekend, we had some high-level college basketball. And similar to what we see in college football, the NCAA Selection Committee released its top 16 seeds for the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. In basketball, they only do this once. There's not going to be another reveal until actual Selection Sunday, which is about a month away. The SEC has three of the top four number one seeds so far. Auburn at number one overall, Alabama at number two overall, and Florida at number four overall, Duke at number three overall. But the SEC has three of the top four number one seeds and two of the top four two seeds. Tennessee at number five, Texas A&M at number six. We saw a great game between Auburn and Alabama over the weekend, number one versus number two. But when you look at this, these top 16 teams, gentlemen, you see a lot of SEC representation. Again, Auburn, Alabama, Florida, three of the top four number one seeds. Tennessee ranked as the top number two seed. Texas A&M right behind them. Kentucky's in this mix as well. So the SEC reigning supreme so far in the selection committee's eyes.
Yeah, I mean, they are the dominant conference right now, and it's not even close. When you had the selection committee come out and three of your top four teams are SEC teams, I mean, come on. Then you look at the second seeds, SEC teams. That just shows you the depth of your conference. And this weekend was no exception. I mean, you know, the Vandy-Tennessee game was close. Texas blew Kentucky out, but the Auburn, if you watch that Alabama-Auburn game, that was a damn good game. You go down to Arkansas and Texas, that was a tight game. So throughout the SEC, week in and week out, or day in and day out, you're going to have essentially like playoff tight games
Did you see Alabama's remaining schedule? They showed Alabama's schedule on the broadcast near the end of the game against Auburn. Mm-hmm. This is Alabama's remaining schedule. At number 15, Missouri, home to number 17, Kentucky, home to 21, Mississippi State, at number 6, Tennessee, home to number 2, Florida, at number 1, Auburn. That's Alabama's remaining schedule. That does not even include the SEC tournament. That's right. Alabama's remaining schedule.
And that's not that different than a few other teams. Vanderbilt's got one that's just as imposing or close to as imposing, or at least a stretch of it. The point is, I think, in this league, and I think an example would be Vanderbilt's performance at Knoxville against Tennessee on Saturday. You can play really, really well and lose. Alabama didn't play bad against Auburn. Auburn, I thought that was an incredible road performance in a hostile environment where Alabama got it revved up like they've done so many times over the last few years. They come back and they tie the game, right? They were down double digits. It seemed like Auburn was in the driver's seat. Here comes Alabama. Auburn answers the bell and they take it to another level. Auburn is as impressive as I've seen as a number one right now. They'd have to really screw it up not to get the first overall seed. To dominate in this league the way they're dominating is that much more impressive. But to the mortal teams, right, like Vanderbilt and you know, good teams, Mississippi State, Tech, you know, these are teams you can play well but not quite be able to win. I wonder how, when the committee looks at teams that are on the bubble from the SEC and your record in the conference is something like 7-11 or 8-10, how is that looked upon versus teams in other conferences? That is going to be where the rubber meets the road for the last few spots. It is every year, but This is extremely unique, especially with the way the net works, where margin of victory is in there. So that is something to watch. Is as long as you bring something to the table and you look like an NCAA team, even if the wins and losses doesn't look pretty in this league, it might be good enough to get you in.
You mentioned Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt took a 16-point lead in the first half on the road in Knoxville. That could have been the cherry on top of their tournament resume. Tennessee comes back. Zakai Ziegler scored all 22 points in the second half. Tennessee escapes Vanderbilt 81-76. And I know I may anger some Vols fans when I say this, but I think Vols fans probably also feel this way. I am not overly impressed by Tennessee. I know they were the number one team in the country early in the season. But when I've watched them, I don't see a team like the one I saw last year, where you could look at that team led by Dalton Knecht and say, that team could go all the way. To me, this Tennessee team, I think, is a good team. Clearly, they are ranked highly. The selection committee had them as the top number two seed in the tournament. They've had some impressive wins, namely that win against Florida right before Florida, I think, went and kicked the crap out of Auburn the following week. They've had some impressive wins. I don't look at this Volunteers team as a team that I think has serious championship credentials. Like, it would not shock me if this was a Sweet 16 loss type of team. I think they're a good team, but I don't look at Tennessee this season and see a team like the one I did last year where I was like, this team could go all the way. I don't see it with this year's team.
I think if Tennessee continues to – they got to play better. The defense has to be more efficient. And we talked about this too. It seems like sometimes they just get in this lull for whatever reason. You had to be in one, heading to halftime because Vandy was up 44-31. And then you come back out and you score 50 points. Well, the closer and closer you get to the tournament, that's not going to happen. And that's the fear, I guess, with Tennessee, is that they can find themselves down 10, 12 points. But can they – now, they've proven a few times they can dig themselves out of that hole. But when you get in the tournament, I mean, it may be a different story,
You know what's interesting is they, year in and year out, and this year they are right there again. They are the number one defensive efficiency team, according to KenPom. It's interesting that Vanderbilt has played two really good offensive games for about 30 minutes of the game. And really, on Saturday, it was the first half. The first 20 minutes, Vanderbilt played about as perfect of a game as you can play, especially for an underdog. They were a double-digit dog in that game. They put themselves in great position. But you're thinking to yourself, in Knoxville, the cream's going to rise to the top. It's going to get tougher for Vanderbilt to keep scoring against the number one defense. You had to hope, if you're Vanderbilt, that Tennessee didn't come alive. Because I think that's the weakness, Adam, to your point. When you're looking at Tennessee, are they a national title contender? I look at their offense and say, they're not super explosive. They don't get a ton of fast break points. On a given day, can they go cold from the outside? Yes. But unfortunately for Vanderbilt, in the second half, they hit everything. They played a really good offensive half. Ziegler turned in a great, I'm just going to put the team on my shoulders performance. He was not going to be denied. Now, we can get into, if you watch that game, I thought it was a very interesting street fight almost. And that's what Tennessee kind of made it. And Vanderbilt doesn't have the depth in the middle for a game like that. They wore down the smaller defenders, got him in foul trouble. Carey played a really good game, but he was in foul trouble. McLaughlin got in big foul trouble right from the start and couldn't really get himself out of it. And Tennessee just kept driving into the paint. And they were... One thing that happens a lot in college basketball is a big guy like, and the key guy for Tennessee, Okpara, is that how you say it? Okpara or Okpara?
I believe it's Okpara.
Okpara takes up space. He posts up. He runs into people. The refs don't call a lot of illegal screens. They call two on Vanderbilt in the second half. Big, big fouls against their big men. They didn't call any on Tennessee. What was happening is Okpara was taking up space. He was getting in the way. I'm screening, but I'm also posting up so I can move, running into the defender, and that was creating lanes to the basket, and Ziegler took full advantage. But Tennessee's not going to be able to do that against teams that have bigger size and more depth. So I think Tennessee can struggle to score, especially in the postseason. That is what they're going to have to overcome.
I'm looking at the games that they've played against the other marquee teams in the SEC. They lost by 30 at Florida early in the season. They came back and gave it back to Florida. They won by 20 without Ziegler, and I believe Milicic didn't play in that game either. He was sick. So they split with Florida. They've lost twice to Kentucky, who has its flaws as well.
They're a little up and down, but
they played a tight, tough game at Auburn, lost by 2 points. They haven't played Alabama yet. They play Alabama on March 1st. So I see them going head-to-head with the other upper echelon teams in the SEC, and I haven't been overly impressed by their performances in those games. And that's how they're going to be judged, by how they play against the other top teams in the SEC, considering the top teams in the SEC are the top teams in the country.
When you have the number one defense, you're going to have a chance.
It's going to give you an opportunity.
But the offense is going to be the question mark for them. And unlike last year when they had Connect, who was so explosive.
He could take over games
and did take over a lot of games. They don't have that type of offensive player on this roster.
Lanier hasn't been able to give them the connect sort of play or you know whatnot.
And he's a good player.
Yeah, Lanier. And Chaz is a damn good player.
He's a really good catch
and
shoot guy.
But he just doesn't give you sort of the connect effect.
Right.
He's a different type player, and I think when he was when he was brought in, maybe there were some thinking, I'm talking about Tennessee fans, thinking, oh, he's going to be like Dalton Connect. He's a different player. Can he put up points? Yeah. But Dalton Connect was different. He was a different player, and it was evident in his play just about every night. Chaz, you're getting a different player, but is this team as a whole better than the team they had last year?
I don't think so. I think they're a really good team.
They're good.
They're a great defensive team. As Willie said, I just wonder if that element of their game isn't working and they are playing a team with a player who has the ability to take over a game. You mentioned Auburn, like Joe Nybroom. They have multiple players on that team that can take over a game.
That's what's impressive about Auburn, right? They have five
inside,
guys.
Outside.
They don't have a guy on the floor that isn't comfortable making a play. And so it's hard. They have so many different ways to beat you.
They can beat you big. They can beat you small. UT is a team that I can see losing in the second round. I can see going to the Final Four. That's who they are. Now, which one of those teams are going to show up once playoff, you know, tournament time come, we'll see. But I think they have enough talent and they're coached really well that they can make it to the Final Four. But also, they can lose in the second round.
Right. I just wonder, like, with Auburn, with Joe Nybroom, Florida has Walter Clayton, like guys that can just have these tremendous heat checks and take over a game. Duke has Cooper Flagg. Like, there are players on those other teams that you can put the ball in their hands and they're going to make a play. Tennessee, no disrespect to Sakai Ziegler, I'm not sure he's that guy. He played well in the second half against Vanderbilt on Saturday, but against upper echelon competition, I'm skeptical about whether he is the type of player who can elevate his game. And when Tennessee needs buckets in big time moments, can he do it consistently enough?
They need this year's Tennessee team is constructed in a way they need everybody to pull their weight offensively. That's basically what it is. Because they, like you said, they don't have that one player. They got some good players, but they don't have that one player like a Connect was last year that can just take the game over if he needs to, or he's more likely to take a game over than not. They have a bunch of guys that are really good players, but they all need to pull their weight.
615-737-1025 if you have any thoughts on the SEC in college basketball. Get them in, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The Athletic had an interesting article today, gentlemen. Potential NFL salary cap cuts for all 32 teams. So the reporters for those respective teams listed players that could be on the chopping block with their teams to save some money. And Willie, you found one on here that you wanted to take an opportunity to highlight.
Well, I want to say that the entire list, I mean, it takes a while to get through. You're not going to know all 32 of these names, but there are some pretty intriguing names on the list. And one of them is a right tackle.
Braden Smith, the right tackle for the Indianapolis Colts, is listed.
He's
on
one
here.
Entering the final year of a 4-year, $70 million contract extension. He didn't play the last five games. This illustrates the calamities of trying to go get a free agent. By the way, it's now 4-0 Canada. McKinnon got loose again. The Finns just
get
cannot
ready.
Contain.
Get ready for Thursday.
Ready for Thursday.
Dog is off the leash, as Derek said.
Yep.
Dog is off the leash.
Lankley ain't going to get water belly ache. As much water he drinking after. So, goalies always take a squirt after they get a goal scored on them.
It might be yellow Gatorade.
Could be
lemon lime Gatorade.
Blue Gatorade.
But I digress.
Yeah. Well, Braden Smith is a once very well-paid player. Mm-hmm. The Colts famously, I think a couple years ago, had the highest paid offensive line.
And UC Saros is coming in.
Ooh,
Kevin
Saros
Lankinen
is,
being pulled.
Oh, man.
So UC Saros, who started the opening game for Finland against the United States, replacing Kevin Lankinen, who allowed 4 goals to the Canadians.
Wow. Interesting move. This is the way it's shaping up. This is going to be Finland's last performance of the tournament.
Kevin Lankinen allowed 4 goals on 13 shots for
Damn.
A save percentage of .692.
Whew. Lankinen. Did you
and I think if you looked
there?
At the goals, I don't know that there's really a softy in there. You have to be superhuman to stop some of this stuff. So it's not always in the goals against.
Of course.
So we'll see what happens. We'll have plenty of time to discuss this. And the Saros thing is not going away anytime soon. So you got to hope if you're the Predators that Saros maybe can play a good half a game here and have a good feeling coming into. But the way Canada's playing, you could play well on the score.
Yeah.
Still could end up being 6-1 just like it was the other night, or 8-1 the way they're going. They're scoring goals in bunches right now, and they have a very depleted defensive system, and now they're demoralized, right? So this is not an easy game to play goalie in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to Smith. I don't know how many other right tackles are out there. We know the Titans have so many needs. We know that they have to address right tackle, right? They're not showing up next year with Nicholas Petitfrère and the guys that are on the roster right now. They will add. At some point, there'll probably be a draft pick in there, but somewhere in here, you got to get a free agent too. I'm curious what the league and what the Titans scouts think of Braden Smith, right, who – he's entering the last year of a very lucrative contract. It looks like he will be a cap casualty for the Colts, right? It would save $16.7 million against the cap with a $3 million dead cap hit. That is prime trim the fat kind of move, right? That looks like an easy decision. And he has missed games the last couple of years. He's only 28, but with the last couple of years and injuries – what has he got left? These are the things that you have to consider when you're playing the free agent game.
It says in the article about Braden Smith, the right tackle for the Colts, his salary is not tenable for a player who, aside from the 2024 season, missed 7 games in 2023 due to wrist, foot, hip, and knee injuries.
Yeah, that's a long list.
It's like the game Operation. It's like the board game Operation, which always used to freak me out because I didn't like to get buzzed. But
And what does he sign for? If he's the best right tackle on the market, you're still going to have to pay pretty well to get him, even as flawed as he is.
As he's in the final year of a 4-year, $70 million contract extension.
And he's 28 years old?
Yeah.
28. He'll be 29 pretty soon, right before the season starts or as the season started. Listen, he's – and, again, PFF isn't the end-all, be-all. I know it. But he doesn't rank high in the spot or the sort of category that we need him to rank high in. We got enough run blockers. We need some pass blockers. He doesn't grade out well pass blocking. So, listen, if you do bring him in, if he does become available, you do bring him in, it's to compete. I'm not signing a huge deal with you. It's to compete because last year may be an indication of who you are at this stage of your career. And I know you're only 28, will be 29 during the season, but you had enough injuries.
I'm going to read you another blurb that's right ahead of Braden Smith. I'm going to exclude the player's name as I read this. And tell me if you think this is a player worth cutting, according to The Athletic. This player never lived up to the expectations the insert name of the team here had for him when he inked a two-year, $20 million deal last season. This player wound up starting just two of the 10 games he appeared in and had 13 tackles and three sacks. Cutting him with a post-June 1st designation would translate into a savings of $9 million for the team, who are projected to have just more than $3 million in cap space entering the 2025 league year. Doesn't sound good, right?
No, it doesn't.
You know, sounds like he will be a cap casualty.
Yeah, you know who that player is?
I do.
Danico Autry. That was Danico Autry.
Right. Again, somebody's going to be out there going, boy, Jared really is living rent-free in your head, right? That's.
Hey, who had the better season, Big Sweat or Autry?
Don't even answer it. Yeah. But Jared, this is, again, going back to the philosophy of when a player ages, you've got to be careful what you have. This is also a two-year contract mm-hmm. that became a one-year contract. Yeah. He's gone. He's going to be cut. Mm-hmm. But Jared Stillman did, just like he did for DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. he really got up on the soapbox and made Rand Carthon look like an idiot in his mind for not bringing Danico Autry back. His last year for the Titans, he had a good year. He had 11 and a half sacks at age 33, but the Titans passed on re-signing him. Jared was adamant, this is a big mistake, this is a problem, what are they thinking, they're incompetent, right? And this is not to say that Jared's wrong about everything. No, far from it, right? I just like that we check and balance sometimes to win. Just take it for what it is. His style, right? Just because he says it loud mm-hmm. and doesn't come back and say, you know what, I missed on that one. It's fun to remind him and have receipts.
Which
sometimes.
We do.
Yeah.
A tweet
because,
from January
because
18th.
I remember we debated it a lot at the time. Mm-hmm. Saying, yeah. Look, he's 34. You're not going to likely repeat that, and it's going to cost you a significant amount of money. And now this is the Texans dove in there, hoped he would be good. He only played 10 games, and he only started two. And like you said, he had three sacks and 13 tackles. Just no impact at all. No bang for your buck.
January 18th at Jared Stillman. Rand Carthon was so stupid for not signing Danico Autry to an extension before the 23 season. He's a great player.
Yeah. A great player?
A great player.
He was a good player here.
But still
a great player.
November 10th, 2024. Yeah. The Titans not re-signing Autry before the season was as stupid as going into the season without a right tackle.
As stupid as not the right. I think I don't know if you want to redo on that one, but it just shows you that free agency is a tough way to live. Mm-hmm. You need to have a foundation of a roster before you go into free agency. It's a complementary thing or a supplementary part of your roster. If you're living and dying with the free agent people that you pick up, you're going to get burned more often than not.
I actually did get a kick out of this. So last week, mm-hmm. Paul Kaharsky filled in for Robbie. And I love when Paul is on Fridays because Jared is also on that show on Fridays. So Paul just used two segments to just ask Jared about all of his takes. And it's very funny. It's very entertaining. At one point, I thought they would have come to blows if they had been in the same room. But Paul asked Jared about his take about Sam Darnold, that he was insistent, Jared was, that the Vikings would franchise tag Sam Darnold. it appears that he is going to go to free agency, that the Vikings are not going to tag Sam Darnold. There's a story on ESPN.com about this today. Their Vikings reporter said that in the end, the Vikings seem more likely to let Darnold sign elsewhere and preserve their tag for another player. Mm. So,
Paul, and do they get a compensatory pick if they let him go to free agency? I assume that they do.
I think they do.
I would assume they do.
That I don't know. But Paul said you were insistent that he was going to be franchise tag, and you thought you were revolutionary.
I got a text. I forget what city I was in. I think it was in Edmonton when we were discussing. It was the week that the Titans played the Vikings.
Uh-huh.
And we discussed Sam Darnold backwards and forwards. I got a text from Jared saying they're going to tag him. You're going to have to trade for Sam Darnold. And so
now
I
it
said,
appears that that's not going to be the case, and we'll see the tag deadline is in a couple of weeks. But Paul said to Jared, you know, you were quick to trumpet that you were going that they were going to tag Sam Darnold. But now that it appears that he's not, are you going to admit that you're wrong? And Jared, the whataboutism was strong in that segment.
That's where
from
he goes.
Jared Stillman. He never said the word I was wrong, the phrase I was wrong. There was a lot of whataboutism. And Jared, I know you're a news junkie just like I am. A lot of whataboutism in that response. So,
but Jared continues, correct me if I'm wrong, he really still believes that Darnold is a good investment, even as a free agent.
That would be that his number one choice for quarterback for the Titans.
I still am not in that camp anywhere close to it.
But, I mean, listen, if you go down that road with Donald, he's your quarterback, and then you sort of try to build around him and go from there. If that's what you want for the next four or five seasons. They did it with Ryan Tannehill, and he became the starter. But Ryan Tannehill had a better body of work coming
into the
Titans.
But they got Tannehill for a song.
Yeah, and you're right. They got him for basically nothing. And – you know, and then they have to pay him that big sum of money when they got him.
Not until they realized that he was good.
Exactly.
And a good fit.
And then they paid him.
Then they paid him pretty well.
Yeah, they paid him well for the job he was doing.
And even as high as they paid him, they will have to pay Darnold more on day one than they paid Tannehill at his peak or close to it. It's going to be comparable, right?
Yeah. But my thing is, if they do it, you do it. I hope it works. Because if you don't, You're setting your franchise back even further. So whether, you know, they sign Sam Darnold or choose to sign someone else, I think it has to be a move that's going to improve your team because that's what the regime wants to see, improvement. They want to see development in players. And do you want to take the time out to develop a quarterback, or do you want a quarterback that has some hours logged in, a lot of them logged in with some good play? Well, Sam Darnold played well this year. This is probably the only year that he has played well, really well. So do you take that and say, hey, he could be our quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years? Because, again, it's not a 2 or 3 year deal.
And financially,
this is a 4 or 5 year deal.
Right, 4 or 5 years. And I was going to ask you guys, financially, it's a minimum 3 year commitment, right?
Yeah.
Because we just talked a lot about the Jets and their financial obligation to Aaron Rodgers for the next 2 years. So they got 2 years of him on the roster, of course, one of which is wiped away for injury, then one that he played. And then you still have 2 years of a financial commitment left on that. I think Darnold, it's minimum three, right? Just because he's going to be by far
he's
the
younger.
Most attractive quarterback. He is younger. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to overpay to get him. And that's why I'm going the other way. I'm not going near that.
615-737-1025, as Willie said. It's all about checks and balances on this station. Just like the government, we all have to oversee the others to make sure that we're not going overboard. So it's all about checks and balances on the station. We love everybody, of course. We just like to poke fun at each
other. DeNico Autry, 3 sacks.
13 tackles. No.
Just like
started two games,
Haloti Ngata, and all the sacks that he got. What did we say? 16 sacks in 13 years for some of the guys that Tavondre Sweat.
Yeah.
Right, he's very stubborn on Sweat. We believe on this show that Sweat is a really good player. That is upside. Jared thinks he doesn't sack the quarterback, but that position is not a sack position.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, a couple of us are going to be grumpy old men to end the show. There is something that happened over the weekend.
Oh my goodness, I'm just going to go off on this.
There is Willie and I have Willie and I have different things, but there is something that happened over the weekend.
So I'll be Walter Matthau, you be Jack Lemmon for the grumpy old men, even though I'm a lot older than you in real life.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll do that next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Dunnick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Stillman and Company coming up next right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. But before we get there, Willie and I have to complain about a couple of things.
Yeah,
they're different things.
If you've got a complaint,
I think I got a complaint.
Okay,
too,
we'll all
go ahead. Yeah.
We'll go through them quickly.
This is an old man complaining session. Now.
Yeah, it's a grumpy old man segment.
So here's my
Wednesday. Don't worry about it. Just know I said Wednesday.
Okay. Wednesday. Okay. All right. Here's my complaint. It's great that Mac McClung has won now, what, three consecutive slam dunk competitions?
That's correct.
He's an incredible dunker. He channeled...
Actually dunked over a car.
He did. He channeled his inner Blake Griffin, had the guy standing in the sunroof holding the ball, jumped over the car, reverse jam. It was really cool. Here's my complaint. Do you know how many career NBA games Mac McClung has played?
Has to be one full season, right?
You wish. Five. He's played five career NBA games. He was wearing a Magic jersey during the competition. He doesn't play for the Orlando Magic. No, he plays for the Osceola Magic of the G League.
That's right next to the Orlando Magic.
The participant.
What we've learned over the years is the best dunker isn't always the best basketball player.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Just like it's cool that he's able to do these things. But the slam dunk contest, when I was a kid, I loved watching the slam dunk competition because you had, you know, there was the chance that you were going to see some star power. I hadn't heard, other than McClung, obviously, because he'd been winning it for the past couple of years, the other three participants in the contest I had never heard of. And
right.
It's
and
just
that's how it is most years now.
I know, but it's just like, I want to give Mac McClung his due because he's an incredible dunker. But, like, the fact that this G League player is the one participating and winning this contest every year, it's starting to tick me off. I don't want to watch it.
We're long past the novelty wearing off. Like, the first few that they did were just incredible. When Michael Jordan was in there and Dominique Wilkins and Dr. J. Spud Webb. That was awesome.
Man. Nate Robinson.
You can't,
Zach
you can't
Levine,
recreate that.
Yes. Blake Griffin. It's just, I don't think it's a great look.
But that, McClung, I honestly, when I looked up close, I thought, is that Nick Blankenberg? Doesn't he look a little bit like Nick Blankenberg for the Predators?
I do want to highlight one tweet that I saw.
How tall is McClung?
I'll look that up, but I do want to highlight this.
He's taller
tweet.
Than Nick Blankenberg.
I think he's 6'3".
Best part about Mac McClung is that he looks like the main character in a movie about a white kid who gets a headband from Vince Carter that gives him superpowers.
But that dunk was legit, where he jumped over the car.
It's
I was
cool.
thinking, did he vault off of the side of the car? He did not.
I just
he
don't
was,
think it's a great look for the NBA that the guy winning the dunk competition every year doesn't play in the NBA.
It's a little bit like the Pro Bowl now. Mm-hmm. They're running out of tricks. And it is monotonous. The game itself is not, it's even worse than it's ever been. I don't understand still why you can't play a basketball game. Why are you so worried? I mean, just play a game.
Because it's
play
just,
a game. They don't play.
No, it's just.
I think you could play a basketball game and not fear that somebody's going to get hurt. They used to for years, but that ship has sailed.
So that's my complaint. Willie, you can be grumpy now.
In the college game. Mm-hmm. We have got to come up with a different way to challenge calls on replay, okay? It is getting ridiculous. I don't care who's playing. You can watch Saturday night. I think I flipped on a game between Kansas and Utah that just happened to be on. I watched the last few minutes of that. There were about three delays for review. Vanderbilt, Tennessee, plenty of them. We can debate them all right here.
Auburn, Alabama had one at the end of the game.
Right. And whoever is doing the game, whether it's Jay Billis or whether it's Dane Bradshaw, Sean Farnham, you pick one. They all say the exact same thing. Now, why are they delaying the game here for this long? Okay, let's do something about it. But this is what I can't stand, right? Ball goes out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Red ball. And then all of a sudden, here comes the guy on the blue team. Hey, it was off of him. Review it. And then the coach goes up, hey, I think that went off the blue. Review it. Oh, I think it went off of Johnny. Can we play? Okay, let's go over and review it. No. No. And then what's even worse, it's hard enough when the ball goes off of somebody and it's hard to tell, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's confine that to the last 2 minutes of a game, all right? And just live with the call if it happens with 15 minutes to go. I mean, we've got it. That's one thing. The one that really gets me, though, is the review for, let's see if it was a flagrant one or a flagrant two. Jimmy got an elbow that breezed right off his jaw. Oh, you mean we're playing basketball? A.J. Hogard drives into the lane. Mm-hmm. He makes a crossover step, goes up, and he clips the guy in the jaw. That has happened about 5 million times in the history of basketball.
And it will continue to happen.
Two shots. Zero people react in the crowd. Zero people react on the floor. Let's shoot two. Mm-hmm. They called a foul on Tennessee. Oh, we're going to review it. He might have gotten hit in the jaw. That might be a flagrant one. Oh, I mean, there's at least three per game. Get over it. Now, if we want to have a challenge, if you really think that that was blatant and they missed an obvious one, let's have a challenge in each for each team. And like Jay Billis said, like the NBA, if you get the challenge right, you keep the challenge. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you do not challenge anything else. But I am tired of the ref saying, oh, like Derek comes over, I'm the ref, and Derek, you say, hey, look, like he elbowed me in the face. He elbowed me in the face. Let's go check it. Go check. The too often the ref goes, oh, maybe I should listen to this guy. Oh, let's delay the game for another 3 minutes while we go over and look at it. It's a joke. It's so stupid. It stops the rhythm of the game. It stops the flow of the free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. If you're at the line, you got to wait 3 minutes before they figure out whether you're supposed to be at the line or not. It's a joke. Why can't they figure it out? The NBA is bad with this too. It's time to stop all of the incessant stoppages. It's a free timeout for these guys.
I think there should be some type of challenge, like the NBA. And if you lose it, you lose it. You lose the challenge, you're done. If you win it, then you get to keep your challenge. So I'm in agreement with you with that. I mean, they take up too much time looking at things that are, like, seriously, like, you're going to call, it's a part of a basketball move. He's not trying to hit him in the face or anything else. It's not being deliberate. And then they sit there for 10, 20 seconds, a minute, so, and come back. Oh, it wasn't
it's happening way too often.
It's just a common foul.
Too often.
We're moving on.
Live with the call.
Exactly. Okay.
All right, Derek, you're up.
I got two, but I'm going to say one real quick. We need to stop with the check marks on X. Everybody doesn't deserve a blue check mark on X. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to leave it there. Everybody doesn't deserve or need to have a blue check mark on their X account. So I'm done with that. Move it over. Okay, the NBA. Listen, I know that y'all are looking for a star. As y'all were looking for a star when Magic and Bird were sort of segueing out, so you had to find a star. You found Michael Jordan just sitting there, you know. Maybe he didn't want to be, but he ultimately ended up being, you know, the star, and he embraced it. So as Mike's starting to get a little younger, a little older, you say Kobe, you throw Kobe up there, he's the face. And then you say, here's LeBron, he's the face. The NFL is always looking for a face of the sport, and rightfully so. But I want to tell the NBA this. If an individual tells the whole world on national television, hey, listen, man, I just want to ball. I just want to just dominate people on the court, do my thing, and go home. That's all I want to do. I'm all about ball. That's what I'm about. It's about winning and me dominating. I don't care about that extracurricular stuff. If someone's telling you they do not want to be the face of the NBA, don't force it. Anthony Edwards was asked that question. And he said, basically, listen, that's not me. That's not what I want. I know what comes with it. That's not what I want. I want to be able to come into a gymnasium, beat the brakes off of you, and win a championship and go about my business. That's all I want. I'm about ball. Okay? I'm not about. He said Wimby is the guy that should be the face, not me. If a guy's telling you that, don't argue with him and say he should be, or that's not the right answer. Stephen A, Shannon, and Big Perk, and the question was asked. I guess it's called a sharp comment or something like that segment that they have. And Shannon was like, listen, he's telling y'all he doesn't want to be the face of the NBA. Let the man be. Everybody doesn't want that pressure that comes with it. Let him be. Perk. And Stephen A was like, no, he needs to be the face of the NBA. You know what comes with that, the money. And Shannon's like, maybe he doesn't care about that stuff. That's me. I'm like, maybe everybody don't do things for money, like anything for money, okay? Just because there may be an opportunity doesn't mean that person has to take that opportunity. He's good where he's at. He wants to be a great player in his own space. Let him be a great player in his own space. Don't force him to be something that he doesn't want to be. Because when you do that, 9 times out of 10, it turns out bad.
Do we all feel better?
Do I need to call you a whambulance?
That was basically the final segment of our show.
So leave that man alone.
I feel a little bit better.
Do we feel better?
Yeah. I feel better.
Yeah.
All right. You feel better?
I feel better.
I feel good.
We all feel good.
Yeah. After we get done, let's go delay and go back and look at the last 3 minutes of the show and see if we could have done
better. Jared, your show's going to start a few minutes late because we're going to go back and replay this segment to make sure it was okay. Just kidding. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Monday. Peace.